Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works in giving you a boner. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, aside from me reading this. It's made in the U.S. of A., America. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, A-R-M-C-H-A-I-R, to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring this train wreck of a podcast.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and, when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question, because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2 and back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast. Just go ahead, Andrew. I want to get this out of the way. Just go ahead and gloat.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Go ahead and play the clip. I'm good with that.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that.
Andrew, is it the greatest moment of your life when your adopted son?
First of all, I take exception with that last thing about being attractive. All right, that has nothing to do with this at all.
Oh, I think it does. Look, if you're not willing,
he's got that tennis body, Dave. Man, I mean, we can't deny it.
So, my son, Mr. Granderson, with the sack, the worm after the sack, which was legendary. An amazing moment.
Fresh out of prison.
As good as... Not, he learned that in prison, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Not as good as Sheldon Rankin's wiggle, but whatever.
Yeah, he was laying on his stomach a lot during prison, so he's used to that. But, Dave sent me a nice text conceding defeat, admitting that finally this competition is over. I win. I'm the champion. Dave, do you have anything to say for yourself?
Pay that man his money.
We never bet any money on this. it was funny. So I was obviously at the game, and I'm watching the game, and I see 96 gets a sack, and I'm like, who the hell is 96? And I finally look up at the big screen to see the replay, and I read Granderson on the back of his jersey. I said, you have got to be fucking kidding. And I immediately picked up my phone to text Andrew, and I said, that's kudos to you, man, because how the fuck does Granderson spend all Saints training camp in jail, get out of jail, make the roster, and then get active and get a sack? Like, how? I don't I really don't understand that. How does a guy not do go through any
his tape
any training
must have
camp?
Been kind of amazing us in college.
Like, us juges, we're like cockroaches, man. The nuclear holocaust comes and we're just crawling out of the debris and finding a way to make it happen.
No, that's what I was going to say, Ralph. The film that they must have on this guy must be ridiculous that they held onto him this entire time. And it's like this, that was his first game, right? Or
that
maybe his second.
They couldn't be off. Like, you know, we're going to cut him and we'll just sneak him through and get him on the practice squad. No, they were like, we can't. We got to keep him. I'm going to go as Granderson for Halloween. I'm going to get a Saints helmet and an orange prison jumpsuit.
Well, now that he's like contributing, now I'm a little. What's the status of his trial? Like, does he need to go back? Is it possible he's gonna need to go back to jail? Now I'm genuinely concerned.
No,
he's
I think
quality he, NFL pass rusher. He's innocent in the eyes of the law.
He. I think he's on probation. So as long as he keeps his nose clean, he's good to go.
Double secret probation.
Yeah.
And yes.
And then what was? I cannot fucking believe that he got a fucking sack. I cannot believe that this. We've been doing this for months. This is just. It's wonderful. Like you couldn't have planned this any better for content.
Yeah, Kyle in the chat room says, Dave, you should send little Jordan back to the orphanage.
I'm done with him. I'm done with him. Yeah, he's dead to me. I'm abandoning him.
Is who's gonna catch a pass first, little Jordan or Austin Carr? Jesus, they are both bad.
I mean, at this point, I would say Emmanuel Butler is gonna catch a pass before those two, and he's not even on the 53-man roster yet.
Yeah, at this point, I would say it's player yet to be named.
Yeah, player not currently on the roster.
Yeah, some guy we're gonna draft next year is gonna catch the next pass. Not to Michael Thomas or Jared Cook.
Kevin,
or
we had the Saints beat Tampa on Sunday. Jameis Winston is a scumbag. That was enjoyable. But Atlanta.
Just to make it 28-3. Bryant knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it. Up by 25.
They're 1-4 and gave up a 50 burger to the Texans.
Deshaun Watson basically read them motherfuckers like he opened up a Highlights Fun with a Purpose magazine waiting at the dentist office.
Andrew has turned me on to the joy of just diving headfirst into Falcons Twitter when they're getting housed.
All right, hang on a second. Somebody needs to isolate that audio of you saying, Juge has turned me on.
That would be our producer, me.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
But like I was saying, Kevin, so
yes.
The enjoying of Falcons Twitter, the Falcoholic tweeted out, is Will Fuller a ghost that only we can see? He had 200 yards. I was expecting Dan Quinn to get the phone call that Jay Gruden got this morning and get fired. He didn't. But as far as fun, I can't think of a more fun 3 weeks in a Saints regular season than these last 3 weeks have been. You got Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Two Gloves, winning games, Saints rolling. It's fun with a backup quarterback, and Atlanta is completely in tatters. This has been an amazing 3 weeks from the moment Deontay Harris ran the punt back.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow,
I like that nice one. I like that one.
I mean, I didn't come up. I got to admit, I'm not clever enough to come up with that, but that's a good one.
Where'd you get it?
I heard it on. I heard it on. Pardon my take.
Okay, well, shit. Teddy Roosevelt's good, so that's a good nickname. I don't know. I'd probably want to look to a couple of years ago in the Bounty Gate season. No, not the Bounty Gate season. The 2 years ago to maybe see, like, if the Saints rattled off, like, three in a row where they just beat the shit out of some teams.
Last year they were more impressive in stretches, and 2017 they kind of were, but I'm just talking about fun.
not necessarily how good the Saints look, just like his enjoyment from a Saints point, a fan point of view. I mean, this is amazing. I would say it's the most fun I've had since 2010 when they were like we had the post Super Bowl glow, Andrew, where the Saints were just pulling games out their ass late. I mean, I know it ended badly with the Marshawn Lynch Beastquake or whatever, but 2010 was fun. 2006 was fun because it was kind of out of nowhere. They were good, but I mean, on the fun scale, this 3 weeks has been hard to beat, man.
It's been so fun. In fact, you know, I was kind of salty with the Bridgewater haters on Twitter and salty with some NOLA reporters this morning. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this. Like, I'm done fighting with people about Teddy. Like, they're going to believe what they want to believe. And it's like they keep moving the goalposts, too. It's like, well, he's a game manager. That's it. It's decided. And I'm like, well, what if he has a good game? And what if he throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns? No, he's incapable of that. He's a game manager. Well, then he does it against the Bucks, and it's immediately, oh, well, he did it against a bad defense. That doesn't count. So the goalposts are already moving, and that's fine. But the bottom line is the Saints are 3-0 with him. They're 1 first in the division, and I'm loving it. And you know what? As a Saints fan, it kind of goes back to that open that you have where I can't remember at what point last year it was, but I was like, if you're not having fun, like if you're not enjoying this as a Saints fan, you probably need to stop watching. And if you're finding reasons to criticize Teddy Bridgewater and you're allowing it to, I guess, muddy the waters of this incredible run that they're on, then something's wrong with you. You need to enjoy this, because whether it's Bridgewater or Breeze or the quarterback of the future or whatever, and this is the reason we root, is to have a team that's in first place, 4-1, with a chance to win a Super Bowl. And they have the talent to do that. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. And the season's only going to get better.
Dave, I feel like there's a little bit
of... You know why, Ralph, you're having so much fun?
Why is that?
Because remember weeks ago when we talked about, like, what if Teddy Bridgewater had to come in and, you know, and or when he did have to come in, and you, and I said subconsciously you were really enjoying it because you loved the thrill of it all. What happens if Teddy does well? You know, all this drama that it's going to cause. And look, it's worked out so well, Teddy. That's why you're having so much fun, because that subconscious part of you, it's getting its way.
It's
happening. It's all happening for your subconscious. Everything that you wanted to play out, whether you wanted to admit it or not, is now happening.
Well, I just think it's fun. It's interesting to me. It's great content. It's great for the podcast. And it's fun. But I think it's interesting that Saints Twitter is having this raging argument about Teddy, but the Dome is breaking out in Teddy chants. I think there's a likability with him that's just unmistakable.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about it right now.
Okay.
We all know we're going to talk about it. We all know we have to talk about it.
Well, you're going to bring Grandison up again?
I mean, I'm serious. Look, if Teddy has one more good game, if he has another game next week like he had this week, I'm serious, and Drew's ready to come back.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
yeah, not going to work here anymore anyway.
Trade Drew
for Mike.
Trade him.
I mean, if you take all the emotion out of it, you either, trade Drew, because otherwise you're going to get to the offseason. And what are you going to do?
Well, hold on.
You're
going to
pay both of these guys?
Hold on. I'll let you talk this through, Dave, but I think one important component you need to know is it's impossible to trade Drew because he has a no-trade clause.
Well, then that's – okay. So, well, then there you go. Well, then I don't need to talk it through. So that means we're going to head to this offseason.
No, but I mean, you're really – I mean, the elephant in the room, the question you're really asking is, if Drew is healthy and Teddy Bridgewater is playing lights out, is there any – justifiable reason why you may stick with Bridgewater and not play Drew, right? I mean, that's what you're getting at.
I think you have to, until he loses, I just think you have to do it. And it's fucking crazy. I know it's so fucking crazy to think that Drew Brees could potentially get Wally Pipp.
I'm taking crazy pills!
I mean, it is totally crazy that that's even a consideration. But I mean, if this wasn't the Saints, if this was any other football team in the NFL, and we were talking about them on this podcast, and I didn't have an emotional attachment to them, I would say you stick with the hot hand, even if it's Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow because he was
all right. Well, first of all, you're saying all these hypotheticals, rock. Like if this wasn't the Saints and if it wasn't Drew, well, it is the Saints. Like, and it is Drew Brees.
Jesus, there, what are you on?
There's
tonight?
No way. There's no way Drew is not taking back over this team. There's no way. I mean, now
I understand that that's what's going to happen. I'm asking whether that's what should happen.
Well, I think right now, if Drew was healthy enough to go this week, I absolutely would go back to Drew.
Correct.
I don't think there's any, but if Teddy, so, you know, now there's two road games in a row. You're at Jacksonville and you're at Chicago. Now, if the Saints were to win at Jacksonville, I mean, at this point, the way they're playing, honestly, I expect them to. But if, don't worry, Saints fans, I'm still going to pick them to lose because I have to do that. You know, I think at this point, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they went in Jacksonville and won. But it's the at Chicago game, you know. And if he goes into Chicago with that defense as good as they are, and the Saints put up 38 points, and Bridgewater has like 400 yards passing and four – you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. But if it did, then, yeah, all of a sudden we're like, holy shit, the Saints are 5-0, and he's lighting up the best defenses on the road in the NFL. Then that starts to be a more difficult decision. I'll give you that.
Right. And Kevin, I want to reiterate my point that before we went into all this, I said he has to play another good game next week for me to really feel that way. I don't know why. I mean, obviously he had a great game this weekend, but I want to see one more good game like that, like this week where he's and it doesn't even have to be that good. But he doesn't need to throw four touchdowns. I just want to see, you know, another 250-yard game, maybe two touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, I'm not that picky about the interceptions, but I want to just see him throwing the ball downfield again. And
it's funny you bring this up because Ralph and I were talking about this today, and we were discussing, like, what's the Saintsiest thing that could happen? And Ralph was conjuring all these possible scenarios. And the one I came up with is that Bridgewater plays the next 2 weeks. He plays like complete and utter dog shit, and the team finds a way to win the next two. And so they go 5-0 with Teddy, despite the fact that he played like complete dog shit. And then Breeze comes back against the Falcons. The Falcons haven't won a game, right? They've lost every game until now. And they play the Falcons, and Drew throws for like 500 yards and 7 touchdowns. And the Saints lose 48-45. Like, that would be the Saintsiest thing of all time.
Oh, shit.
Almost like the team's like, oh, Drew's back. We can go back to just like riding his coattails.
That is so funny. Oh, God.
Kevin, if we legitimately have an argument of Drew or Teddy, I think they'll be dead bodies on Twitter, on Saints Twitter. It will make the Jake Delhomme, Aaron Brooks quarterback controversy look like you're deciding what you want to order for dinner. Like, it'll just be.
I hope it happens. I really do. Because it's a great problem to have.
Really? I know, but.
Yes.
But fuck. Like, what if that's it for. I mean, like, what if that's how. This is how Drew goes out. I mean, like, what if this is it? What if this is how the
I mean, yeah, on I wasn't some
ready
level
for
that
it. Guys, I wasn't ready for this. This can't be happening.
Yeah, but then if Bridgewater is playing so well that I still don't think there's really a strong chance this could possibly happen. I think Bridgewater is going to come down to earth a little bit going on the road at the Bears and etc.
He's thrown for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. You
probably,
just locked it in. Thanks, Andrew.
Yep. But no, I mean, listen, if that's a serious scenario where Bridgewater is just so good that you have to ask yourself the question, do we think twice about starting our Hall of Fame quarterback when he comes back? I mean, yeah, it would be weird and it would be sad, and I'm sure Drew would be pissed, but I mean, our heir apparent, like, our future at quarterback for the Saints would be set. Like, it would be like Favre handing it off to Rodgers.
But
that's like the greatest possible scenario you could conjure up.
Kevin, talk some sense into these lunatics.
That ensures that also ensures you know, then you could be talking about like dynasty levels. You know, you could be
I mean, it in theory it sounds smooth and easy, but Kevin, this would be I mean, controversial as hell, right? I mean, it's name a quarterback controversy, the transfer that went well. Like it would be horrible.
Listen, all you right now that are even talking about saying goodbye to Drew or you know,
yeah, we need to pump the brakes on this.
All you motherfuckers out there need to slow your goddamn rolls. Listen. Because of shit like this, because of these general vibes you pricks put out, this motherfucker is releasing Instagram videos of him throwing, like, you know, three-quarter-sized NFL footballs at the practice facility just so he can show people that he still has his mechanics down. This lunatic gets out on the field and is doing, like, weird thumb stretches and shit on national television and looking like a goddamn weirdo. This guy is not shit. Got way too excited there. This guy's not going anywhere.
People in your house again that you don't know who they are?
Yeah. This guy's not going anywhere. And anybody that's saying, oh, we need to, you know, Drew, you know, maybe Drew this or maybe Drew that. And, oh, we got Teddy this. Yeah, Teddy, listen. When Drew is ready to come back, you take the clipboard, you go back to the bench, and you keep learning. And you keep working on you know, making longer throws and all that other shit. You keep working on all the good shit. And then when Drew retires in a year or two, you know, hopefully after a Super Bowl win, then boom, you are the heir apparent. That way there is no controversy, if Sean Payton decides for whatever fucking reason, if he gets a hair up his ass and says, we're going to keep with Teddy, the sports talk radio in New Orleans is going to be abominable.
More abominable than my live spots on WWL in the morning?
Well, I agree.
The comments on NOLA.com are going to make the comments on Breitbart seem civil.
I definitely think Breeze is going to come back when he's ready and the job's his. I agree with Kevin. We definitely need to pump the brakes on this. Teddy's doing what he needs to do while he's in there, but this is Breeze's team. But I think the thing that's more challenging is Bridgewater at this point, he's in a contract year, and I think he is locked up starting for someone and getting a nice contract next year. I think those first two games, like, teams are like, okay, Bridgewater is back to game managing, he's healthy, and he seems like he's a decent option. But after that Bucks game, I think he kind of rang the siren and he let everyone know, hey, I'm back. I'm playing at a high level. The Saints are 3-0 with me. And if Breeze comes back to New Orleans, or forget New Orleans, if Breeze says, hey, I'm coming back, I'm not retiring, then I think it's a really tough position for the Saints. Because it's like, I guess you have to stick with Drew and let Bridgewater walk. But he's getting that contract from someone this offseason.
Well,
I think he's locked that up.
They still have a lot of teams that haven't decided that the quarterbacks they just drafted the last couple of years are terrible, like Buffalo and Chicago. Who knows what Cincinnati's going to do? Denver, they have Flacco, but they drafted a quarterback in the second round, so they wouldn't be really looking for a quarterback. Miami's probably going to draft Tua, right? So I don't know necessarily that. Unless Teddy Bridgewater, even though he's playing really well, I don't know that he's going to have a lot of options at quarterback, because we've had the last couple of years like an infusion of young quarterbacks. And look, I think the Buffalo quarterback's terrible. I think Trubisky's terrible. Hell, I'm watching Baker Mayfield.
The Bills would kill for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, but they're not going to give up on Josh Allen after 2 years, right? So I'm just saying, Well, maybe they would. Maybe they would. I just think his market might not be so great. But we'll see.
Well,
I mean,
so first of all, the best thing that could happen for Teddy, honestly, is that Drew comes back next week and Teddy just gets to go out on a high note like George Costanza. And that way he doesn't fuck anything up. And then he can take care of what he needs to take care of in the off season. I mean, really and truly, that's the best fucking possible
George
scenario.
Costanza, leave the top.
Yeah, just go out on a high note. I mean, that's the best thing that can happen.
All right.
But two, so my question is if the Saints were going to, like, would the Saints trade Teddy? Let's say Drew comes back, everything's fine. Would they trade him while he's still hot, while he's high? Trade him. If they did, what would you want to get for him?
I mean,
you're mortgaging your future. You know, if you're the Saints, you're Mickey Loomis, and you're willing to trade Teddy Bridgewater, you're obviously giving up your heir apparent and a known quantity for obviously draft picks or another player that you may or may not know. So that's one of the big risks, is having Teddy and just moving
forward.
Do
we agree that the Saints can't afford Breeze and Bridgewater? After what Teddy's done these last 3 weeks, they can't afford both next year.
No way.
Are we in agreement there?
I agree, yes.
Okay. So is there...
Assuming Teddy plays well the next two games before Breeze
comes back.
Is
there any scenario? I mean, Loomis has had... I mean, I remember him around the time of the Breeze extension, this most recent one, him saying, like, yeah, Sean and I don't always agree. And I was curious if he meant by saying that he was talking about the exit date for Breeze. And if Breeze, after this season, says, hey, guys, I want to keep playing, is there a scenario where the Saints say, well, you can keep playing, but it's not going to be with us? I mean, I know that's crazy to say, but, like, the Colts did it with Peyton Manning. They let him walk.
Yeah, but he wasn't healthy. Peyton Manning
had neck aids.
Yeah, but some of his best statistical seasons were in Denver.
Yeah.
After he left the Colts.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had two.
He had an MVP season.
He had three great years in Denver. His last year, he broke down completely, and they won the Super Bowl because their defense was awesome.
You know what? I think that's what I'm thinking of.
But I mean,
I'm thinking of that more than anything.
But they had Andrew Luck.
I mean, I know that was neck surgery, but I mean, Breeze did just wreck his thumb.
I mean, does he have thumb aids? He's trying to.
I know Peyton had neck problems, but Breeze hurt his thumb.
No, but seriously, though, do you guys see any scenario where the Saints would let Breeze walk and keep Bridgewater, Nick?
Is it that crazy? I mean,
yes.
It becomes difficult if Breeze says, I want to keep playing, but I want to go year to year. Because then the Saints look at Teddy Bridgewater and he's like, he's 26, 27. Drew just wants to keep going year to year. It gets difficult. It's a nice problem to have. I'm with Dave. I think Drew's going to keep playing. He wants all the records, man. And he's got to outlast Brady.
And just as much as he's probably pissed that he's not playing to lead the team and watch Bridgewater do well, he's probably also very pissed because he's missing time to break those records. I mean, that's one of the things that I've thought about that I haven't really heard anybody talk about, is the fact that, I mean, he was on pace to break what? Didn't Manning have one other? Oh, yeah, no, he didn't. But he's trying to keep pace with Brady, and Brady's still playing, and Patriots keep winning.
I don't think you're going to get anything from Drew other than I'm playing year to year. Because, I mean, that's what he said to the media is, He's playing every season like it's his last. And he said, I don't know if this is my last year or if I'm going three more, but I know I'm getting closer to the end and I'm playing every year like it's my last.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last thing I'll say on Bridgewater is, I think, you know, Dave is right. We just have to see. But I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks. I think you're going to get Bridgewater for three more weeks. I don't think they're going to – I don't think as crazy as Drew is real. I think because they're winning, I think they're going to make Drew – sit these 3 weeks, then you get the bye, and then he comes back. But we'll see. The one thing that we don't need to pump the brakes on, Dave, is Michael Thomas is ridiculous. He has maintained the same ridiculous level of play with Teddy Bridgewater that he had with Drew Brees. I felt like at times against Tampa, it was like it's 3rd and 8. They're going to Thomas. And Tampa knew it was coming. Everybody in the stadium knew it was coming. And they still couldn't do a goddamn thing about it. Of all the things that Michael Thomas has done with the Saints, which is amazing, he was amazing in the Philadelphia playoff game, I think yesterday might have been the best performance that he's put together.
Well, not that I don't agree with you that Michael Thomas is arguably the greatest receiver in the league. I will say that Tampa Bay's secondary is pretty garbage, so let's take it with a grain of salt.
Why do you have to ruin...
He's a great receiver. He is fucking amazing. It's amazing that he has continued to do with Teddy Bridgewater what he was doing with Drew. I mean, you know, he's good for like 10... Like, he's every game, 10 catches, at least 10 catches every game. It's
Dave, why can't you just...
Jump to conclusions, Matt. You see, it would be this Matt that you would put on the
floor. Why can't you let me do that, Dave?
And would have different conclusions written on it that you could
that
jump
you could
to.
Jump to.
Why can't you let me do that? Why can't you let me have that?
Sorry.
I think Michael Thomas, Kevin, yesterday proved that he's underpaid.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, totally. We don't pay him enough.
I'm just saying.
Man.
I mean,
he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, though. Brees, and I remember saying that I felt like Michael Thomas was so good that he could be on any team and he would be good. And I think this proved it. The fact that it doesn't matter who his quarterback is for the Saints, whether it's Taysom Hill, by the way, who threw a ball to him in that game, Teddy Bridgewater.
Taysom Hill had a higher quarterback rating yesterday than Matt Ryan, just so you know.
But Josh Hill caught a pass from Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara had a higher rating too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yep. But Michael Thomas, I think we can officially say he's the greatest receiver. We discussed it this summer that whether or not he was the greatest receiver in Saints history, whether it was too soon. But I mean, this guy's not stopping. I think I'm ready to say it. He is the best receiver in Saints history.
I mean, I don't think it's a doubt, and I think I would say the only thing that could slow him was injury. But he works so hard. I think even injury, he would work back and come back and still be very good and get to the records.
So Ralph, you just mentioned it. I mean, that's my biggest fear. That's my biggest fear about this offense, this season. I just feel like if Thomas or Kamara gets injured and they're out for any significant amount of time, that's it. Fuck it. I mean, there's no way the Saints are moving the ball down the field at all. I mean, seriously, like
Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. Their entire offense revolves around Thomas, Kamara, you know, with a little bit of Ginn and maybe something to Traquan.
Hey, Ginn and Cook combined for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, and Cook, what, yeah, yeah. I know. By the way, how was your fantasy team? How did that work out with Cook having a touchdown and a couple of catches?
Well, as soon as I got the Marlboro fantasy stink off of him.
Oh, you traded him?
Got the antibiotics in him. We cleaned it out, and he's coming around, and by next week he'll be at full strength, and he'll start playing really good.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
But I also thought of something that I wanted to mention and that I tweeted out during the game. Like, why – I still – Latavius Murray, he's done nothing wrong to me.
I said he would be a bust. I said – I called that.
Wait. I don't think he's a – that's my argument. I don't think he's a bust. I don't understand. He has, like, 2 rushes in the first quarter. He gets, like, 16 yards. He's – and then they never go to him again. I don't understand why he's not.
Because he
part kinda of the game
sucks.
But he doesn't. He's shown nothing that says he sucks.
I mean, he's got like, doesn't he have like, he averages 3.9 per carry this year.
I mean, I feel like Kevin, Latavius Murray, the Saints could plug, they could have kept my UDFA adopted son, Ozigbo, and he could be doing the same thing that Latavius Murray is doing. And yes, I'm not bitter at all that my UDFA son didn't make it.
No, but I'm serious. But why pay him what they're paying him? Like this, you're right, Ralph. Like they could have gotten a much lesser running back to do what Murray's doing for them right now. And I think the answer is they're not paying Murray for what he's doing now. They're paying him in case something happens to Kamara, because then they will need him to do more. But as it stands right now, he's a luxury. He's what Teddy Bridgewater was last year. Nothing more than an overpaid luxury backup.
Well, here, Kevin, I was thinking about this today, and you know, and I was hoping you were going to be on the podcast because I got this question specifically for you. In that the Saints, they traded up for Eric McCoy. They've traded up for Vaughn Bell. They've traded up for Onyemata. They gave up two number ones for Marcus Davenport, who, oh, by the way, is looking spectacularly these last couple weeks. So my question to you, do you ever think you will live to see the day where the Saints trade down?
I reckon I will be old and gray and look like a look like an extra from the Ken Burns Civil War documentary by the time that happens.
Maybe Mickey Loomis's ornery grandson will be the GM at that point, and he'll trade down to show his pop. Things can be done a different way.
Right. I mean, maybe the best thing to hope for is that the Saints somehow – is that Teddy Bridgewater looks good still. The Saints agree to sign him to a deal, but then immediately float him out as trade bait in the offseason. That'll be my big trade down conspiracy or, fantasy storyline.
The only thing that's I think,
Kevin, and what if the Saints, like, hold on, let's go a little further with this, Kevin. If the Saints trade down like 20 years from now for Adrian Peterson's beaten son, is that like a weird kind of stars aligning scenario for you, that all is forgiven kind of thing?
I don't know if it's an all-forgiven thing. I'm kind of hoping that by the time, God, you know, that by the time Adrian Peterson's, horrifically abused child were to become an NFL player, that he would have completely written his father out of his life. And, at that point, it's like, hey, yeah, you go on and do your thing, kid.
But if the Saints trade down to acquire him,
yeah, so what?
That's got to be some sort of sick twist of irony that makes you forgive everything, right?
Right? But the issue isn't Adrian Peterson's beaten child. The issue is Adrian Peterson.
But it's well, Adrian Peterson.
No,
might be,
but I'm saying you don't want the Saints to trade down. They never do it for you. And
right,
it's almost like an olive branch 20 years later. It's like a mea culpa. Okay. We understand.
Okay.
It's like
sure.
A mea culpa. We know you hated when we got it, Adrian Peterson. And so not only are we going to trade down for the first time ever to make you happy, Kevin, but we're going to trade for the guy that was getting beaten by Adrian Peterson.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that would be great. I mean, of course, you know, with my luck, God, this sounds so horrific and selfish and just so asinine. Whatever.
Please
the fuck.
Say
it's fucking, it's fucking podcast radio. I was about to say, just, you know, with my luck, he'll, you know, Peterson the younger will be at peace or be brainwashed by Peterson senior. So, you know, dad will be invited to all the games, and the Fox crew will keep cutting to Adrian Peterson senior, you know, every time junior touches the fucking football, and I'll get to hear the announcers sort of gloss over everything that happened, and they'll just talk, and they'll just, you know, sort of brush over it by, oh, you know, that's very nice that he's here to support his son. You know, they had a rocky relationship, you know, when you know, Junior was growing up, and I'll be screaming at my television.
You'll be back walking in the woods during Saints games.
Basically, yeah, I'll be throwing things at my television like, he fucking abused him, you God damn it, Troy Aikman, fuck.
Juge, I think that was.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes, it's horrible, this horrible idea.
The thing is, though, I just, the Saints, the draft nerds next year when the Saints trade up again are going to lose their shit, and we can just throw it in their face over and over again. It's almost as fun as how much they freak out when Taysom Hill gets the ball, Dave. And I have had about enough of the analytics nerds. Like, they lose their fucking minds when the Saints play Taysom Hill at all. And I just enjoy the hell out of it when he completes a pass or makes a nice run. But if we talk about this defense, Dave, we talked about it all summer, that the two things that could make it great, right? We said if Davenport can be a 10-sack guy and Lattimore can play great every week and not come in and out and be inconsistent, if those two things can happen, this defense can be top five. And the last 2 weeks, Dave, it's happening. Like, I think this defense has the potential to be...
It's happening!
I don't... But it is. I mean, yeah. Will it last?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's, you know, unlike the offense, which is, like we discussed earlier, unlike the offense that's based upon three, four core people, quarterback not even being one of them, you just put anybody in there and that's fine. It doesn't matter. But on defense, I mean, they've just got a lot of depth. I mean, you've got fucking Carlos Granderson coming out of jail and getting sacks. So, I mean... they're getting help from everybody, so it's great. It's fun to watch.
Is,
it, you know,
is that the same? Is that the same Carl Granderson that handed you an L in the competition we had? Same
yeah.
guy.
Okay. Yeah, I adopted him, right? Oh no, I adopted little Jordan. Oh, that's a shame. That was a bad decision.
You're giving up parental rights to little Jordan.
Little who? Lil who? I don't even know what you're talking about. What a stupid name. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, but this pass rush, it's clearly I think it's the best that they've had under Sean Payton, Andrew, but I think you might have four or five guys with like four and above sacks, which I don't think has ever happened in the Sean Payton era. Like, this pass rush is deep, and they have a lot of guys that can get a handful of sacks.
Yeah, I think they're at 16, is that right? 16 yeah. sacks so far, which puts them on pace for about 51 and change this year. So, I mean, 50 sacks in a year, I don't know if they'll keep that pace, but that's just insane. I mean, I remember... Ralph, we used to talk like, can the Saints get the 40 sacks? You know, yeah. And they're way better than that now. Interestingly, the Jags, we'll talk about them, I'm sure, in a little bit, but they also have 16 sacks this year. So that's going to be an interesting matchup to watch between these two teams. But I just think when you look at this pass rush, I always say, like, it's not the teams that have the one guy, whether it's Khalil Mack or, in this case, Shaquille Barrett is the guy the Saints just faced. But it's not the one guy that scares me, because you can create a game plan. You can double him. You can chip him. There's things you can do to neutralize a pass rush when it's just one guy you're terrified of. When it's a balanced pass rush where from left to right, all four guys are very difficult to block, that terrifies me, and that's the Saints now. And I, if I'm a team playing the Saints, that really scares me. And what you saw when Sheldon Rankins got a sack and Malcolm Brown got a sack this week, and that was great for those guys to get that, especially Rankins. I mean, that was awesome. He just coming back from his injury and see him do the wiggle, it was pretty special, man. But they weren't the reason why they got those sacks. It was the pressure that Davenport and Jordan created on those plays, and they were cleanup sacks. But the point is, if you have a bad defensive tackle there, he's not cleaning the play up. And so it's one of those things where the initial pressure, maybe let's say it comes from Cam Jordan, the quarterback feels like he's got to redirect, maybe step up in the pocket, maybe escape the pocket, and boom, there's another guy there that cleans it up. And so I think what we're seeing out of this defensive pass rush now is that it's balanced, and it all starts up front. And I just think – I think at every level, everyone's playing well right now. Like DeMario Davis and A.J. Klein are playing well. Lattimore's starting to pick it up. Eli Apple's looking good. The safeties, Von Bell, is playing well. But I think it starts up front. And I just think this front four is arguably the best the Saints have ever had.
I want to go back to you mentioning DeMario Davis. I just want to talk about him. I mean, that dude, goddamn, he had a fucking day yesterday. And, I mean, he's been sneaky. He's been, like, sneakily one of the best signings that this team has made in a long time, I think. He is
well,
totally
he might
paid off.
What was the dome he's, like? You, do you remember the play? So the Saints had just scored, I think, to make it 17-10. And it was right before halftime. And the Bucks got the ball, and you know there's maybe like 40 seconds left, and so you're wondering like, are they going to try to make a run and get a field goal before halftime?
Right.
And the very first play, they run a delay, and DeMario Davis just comes in and destroys the run. I think it was Peyton Barber. He destroys him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was the dome like right then?
I don't really remember specifically, but I mean, again, the dome. Oh, and I want to do a follow up on my earlier thing. The dome was great, even for a noon game. The dome was pretty damn loud. And I do want to go back to something I had mentioned previous weeks with the Dallas and Houston games. There were not a lot of Bucks fans. It kind of went back to normal and being mostly Saints fans. So I was happy to see that. So maybe it was just two Texas teams. Making an easy trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I can never remember. The only time I can remember Tampa traveling decent amount of fans was when they had John Gruden as the coach. And that's like their glory days. So, I mean, they just. That's a pretty. I mean, well, it's not that far away, I guess. Kevin.
Tampa can't even get people to go to their own.
They can't. They gave away. They literally gave away free tickets to their season ticket holders the last 2 years. Kevin, you know, we used to joke on this podcast about the no-catching motherfuckers. The Saints have 5 interceptions taken away by penalties. I don't know if we could come up with a catchy nickname for that, but it's insane how many turnovers the Saints have had negated by either penalties or referee incompetence. I've never seen anything like it. Can you remember the Saints ever having... on defense having so many turnovers or taken away?
No, but you know, my short-term memory is for shit. So, you know, I can't tell you.
Is all that wrestling? Is all them power bombs and body slams?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. My brain's getting bounced around and I have no idea. I have no idea which way is up.
By the way, why is this, and I believe this is 100% accurate, I believe all boys anywhere from 4 to 6 years old, they find wrestling and love it. My kid today was watching, what's that thing, WWE, ladders and chains or whatever the fuck?
Tables, ladders, chairs?
Yeah.
Sounds like something a 4-year-old should be watching.
He's watching it and just cackling maniacally as dudes are jumping off ladders, crashing into each other. And he's like, I love the wrestling. How? I don't even know, man. Like, totally off topic. I just thought maybe you as a wrestler could give me some wisdom as to why that is.
Because it's a child watching... It's a child watching grown-ass men just, like...
In diapers.
Fly around on television and crash in shit. Like, that's cool as shit to see.
It's amazing. So I'm gonna try to steer him.
Most of us grow out of that, Kevin. Yeah.
Yes, most of us do grow out of it. Some of us, don't.
So I'm thinking he'll like Macho Man Randy Savage because he would go in the air a lot, you know? So I'm trying
to steer. That's what you need to do. Show him a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah. I get him. We can bond by watching WCW. So before we get to the game, before we get to the viewer questions, Dave, if people want to gamble like they should, and they should take my picks, I tell them week after week to bet against fucking Rutgers. It's like an ATM. If you people would just listen to me, but if they wanted to win money by betting against Rutgers and on Tulane, let's say, where should they go online to win some money?
Well, there's probably a lot of people out there who are always just messing around and picking games and picking winners, but they're not actually betting on the... Oh, that's a perfect soundbite. But they're not actually betting on the game. You might as well go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Because let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting with. Did you know that you could bet on a game after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. So join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit if you use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. So visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. This week, Tulane, I believe they are 35-point favorites. I don't think they've ever been favored by that much.
Yeah, they're losing.
Since 1998, when they went undefeated. And I just want to take this moment to say how proud I am of my Green Wave.
You were pumped. It's big win.
I got to be honest with you. Like, traveling with the team this year, first of all, I picked a great year to be invited to have this opportunity and to travel with the team to all the away games. You know, you got to understand, I practically feel like I'm on the team at this point. So it's been...
At Army was big time.
It was awesome. It was great. I was in the locker room after the game. I got to be there when Willie Fritz got to do his windsurfing.
Did you get to hang with Jeff Duncan again?
No, Jeff Duncan did not make this trip. He's done writing his article. So I actually, funny enough, I was actually... hanging out with the owner of the Buccaneers the day before the game.
Who's from New Orleans, right?
They have a house here. Yeah, they're not from here.
The Glazers?
Yeah, Jill went to... she's a Tulane alum. Wow. She's great.
Dave, dropping names.
And her daughters both went to Tulane also.
We have some special questions tonight. I don't know who wants to take this, but it's from Don, and it's amazing. Would Andy Tanner excel on our current roster? No one wants to take it?
I mean, he'd excel at getting bounced off the practice squad every other week.
Like, it would be great. Andy Tanner, Mike Thomas would have 4 catches for 37 yards. Andy Tanner would have 7 catches for 139 yards and 2 scores. That's how insane this shit would be. You could bring back Adrian Arrington. Dust him off.
No.
Arrington, 9 catches, 107 yards.
We're not going to get into it during the season, but we came up with a great off-season topic. Somebody on Twitter, they said they wanted the jersey of the worst Saints player ever, and I decided in the off-season, the Saints have their Ring of Honor. We're going to have the Ring of Shame, and we're going to induct 3 Saints players in the offseason to be in the initial Ring of Shame.
I was pretty adamant that Brandon Browner and Heath Shuler are 1 and 2. Yeah. And any other name that you throw out there is invalid, in my opinion.
People were
for worst Saint ever.
Yeah.
Ted Gregory.
Yeah, but he didn't. Well, we can't. We'll have to deal. We'll have to do it on the offseason. But we're gonna have to have a meeting. Off, not on the air, of like coming up with like the criteria for the Ring of Shame. I think it's got to be the standards have to be stringent, and it's got to be a combination of like on-field play, draft status? Do you have any criminal things in your background? And, like, you put it all together and we come up with, like, a formula like PFF does for grades.
Ooh, I like that.
And we give, like, a score. Like, we give, like, the shame score. Like, you get your Saints shame score. But we gotta
see. There's guys like Russell Erslaven. Like, it's ridiculous that Erslaven was drafted in the first round. But, like, if he was a seventh round pick, let's just say, then no one would talk about him. No one would care. He would just be another kicker slash punter that stunk for the Saints in a long line of them. And it's kind of like Jarris Byrd. If it wasn't for the contract, he would just be another mediocre safety that we had. His play on the field wasn't good, but it was the expectations that came with the contract. But in no way can you say what Erkslaven or Jarris Byrd, what they did on the field, came close to approaching the ineptitude of Brandon Browner.
And Brandon Browner wanted to beat it. He wanted to beat up, what's his name from Channel 4?
Lyons Yellen.
Yeah.
Brandon Browner is the worst player of all time.
He checks a lot of boxes.
Brandon Browner broke the NFL record for most penalties in a season. Right. And in the same season, he also yielded the highest quarterback rating in NFL history. And those two statistics are not related. Every time he picked up a penalty, he was saving himself from worsening his quarterback rating.
Yeah, and then he's also
the laws of physics ceased to exist with Brandon Browner that season. Like, do you realize how hard it is to fail catastrophically and historically at both?
And not get benched. He played every week. They couldn't bench him because he was the best they had.
Kyle on the chat says that he heard that Brandon Browner bunked with Granderson while he was in jail.
So this is from Saints Recline, Andrew. Are you going to adopt Granderson's caterpillar dance for any future weddings, living room celebrations, etc.?
Well, it's funny you should ask because my wife's brother is getting married in a couple weeks in Austin, Texas. So I'll be there for that wedding. So I'm ready. Yeah, I'm going to bust it out. I'll be on the dance floor at my brother-in-law's wedding and I'll be good to go with the whatever that was. I guess we'll call it the worm. That was a pretty pathetic attempt at a worm.
Kevin, this is a good question. What does Teddy have to do to be comeback player of the year? Have it? Does he have it locked up already?
No. Not with three games. You got to play the whole season.
I think if it's the six games and he ends up like, I think if it's the six games and he ends up playing exceptionally well and the Saints win, I don't know, if the Saints go 5-1 in the games he started, I could maybe see an argument for it, but I can't see him winning the award. I could see him getting, you know, second place at the highest. Like, he would get those sorts of, like, what do you call it? The game show word where they use like, oh, you didn't win, but you get these other a
consolation prize, runner up.
It would be like a consolation prize.
If
like
Miss America
would say, oh,
can't fulfill her duties for any reason.
Right. Consolation.
Yeah, I feel like there's always some award, like, you know, the Tabucky Jones Award, you know, of player. You know what I'm saying? There is always some award. He'll win something, but he's not going to. I feel like for comeback player of the year, you got to play the whole season pretty much.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to think of who would be his competition, the guy who's.
He's not going to win it. You know why? Sheldon Rankins is going to win it.
Big wiggle.
This is a good question from Daniel. Who?
Wait, by the way, I want to just address Matthew Miller, who wants to know why I'm not humble bragging about sitting next to players' families anymore. It's because somebody bought those seats, and now it's just some random dude, and I don't get to sit next to
people.
Yeah, anyway. All right, go ahead, ask your question.
Who?
Oh, wait, well, hold on. We got another thing in the chat. Kenneth wants to know, how did the chick in your house give Sam Darnold mono?
She wandered a hell of a long way to do that, let me tell you.
I can't believe the Jets let him practice. He took all the reps all week, and then they're like, "Nah, he still can't play."
And they let that poor fucking rookie get one day of practice as a starter.
They might as well have let me play and just hand off.
I can't believe there's still NFL teams out there that are that incompetent. It's unbelievable.
It's staggering.
What's the score right now in the Browns game? Just so I know.
I believe it is
31-3.
Okay.
28-3. Bryant knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it. Up by 25.
Let this just be a lesson once again. Like, don't ever tell me what the Browns are. Look, the Browns are the Browns, and until they show any signs of being any different than that, don't tell me how awesome they're going to be. I had to hear this all offseason. It's how great they're going to be. People were calling them a Super Bowl contender. That was literally a thing.
They were.
Some people picked them to win in week one.
Yeah, but we would never let somebody so dumb that they would pick the Browns in week one and survive. We would never let them on this podcast.
Yeah,
no way. They'd be kicked off of me.
Yeah,
they don't know anything about.
We have standards here. This is a good question from Daniel, Dave.
I picked the Survivor League.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I said, did I pick the Browns in the Survivor League?
No, Ralph
did.
The guy with one good arm did.
Well, then yes. Let us all point at Ralph and laugh.
Ralph, I feel like we make enough one-arm man jokes that you should pull some clips from The Fugitive.
We should
use your good arm to pull them, though.
Isn't there a lot of one-arm man references in the?
Totally.
Is it
totally.
The Fugitive?
There is.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's taking us 10 years to fucking figure that out.
We'll get there. Dave, what player on the Saints' current roster would you give up to get a good wide receiver?
Drew Brees.
Jesus.
There, I said it. Hey, look, I'm just saying I like my quarterbacks to throw real footballs, not Nerf footballs, okay?
I like quarterbacks to throw footballs more than 10 fucking yards.
Yeah. Before we get to the picks of Saints Jacksonville, I forgot to remind you guys at the top of the show, but I'm going to remind you now. If you are a patron, they have a custom RSS feed that you can paste into however you get your podcast, whether you use Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Google Play. You can paste that custom RSS feed into your player, and it will give you the paid content. It'll put it in that player, and you don't have to use your password and go to Patreon and all. It'll put it right in your player. So go there, get the custom RSS feed, and paste it in, because I can see only 26 of you are using it, and we have 225 patrons. So that's a great way to listen to this podcast, the paid content that you're paying for, in whatever player you use. And if you go on use Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us, and subscribe, because I want to be a top 50 podcast just one fucking time. That's all I want. So that said,
Jimmy Garoppolo. That comeback player of the year.
Oh, you're right, Kevin. God damn it. I hate you. And he dates porn stars, so that'll just—it's
exactly.
He's a.
I mean, this guy's winning life.
Who did he date?
I can't believe that I asked you people to name a player that would be Teddy Bridgewater's competition for Comeback Player of the Year, and it was Kevin who came up with the name. You talk about an upset.
Yeah, that's right. That's a shocker right there.
That's, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, coming back from 28-3 right there.
All right. Let's get to the game. The Saints are a currently the Saints and Jacksonville is a pick'em, Dave.
Oh, wow. I thought it was Saints by 1.5. Is it dropped?
I saw it. I got an alert on my phone. It is a pick'em. No, it is it on footballlocks.com. It is Jacksonville Saints. It is a pick'em. Total is 44. Dave, who do you got?
Well, look, if the Panthers can beat the Jaguars, then I'll be goddamned if the Saints can't beat the Jaguars. Minshew mania is over. It's done. He might as well shave the fucking stash now. I'm going to say, let's see, Teddy Roosevelt is coming to town. I'm going to say 35 Saints. And 12. I'm going to give him a weird number. 12 Jaguars. And player of the game, Deontay Harris. We're going to get another return from him.
I think we need to print up Teddy Roosevelt t-shirts. Is that like stealing his likeness? He'll come after us. But
no, because we could like morph his face onto
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, or I don't know, like sitting on a bull or something. I don't know. We're like a, I don't know.
So who's the MVP, Dave?
Deontay Harris. He's gonna return one again.
Boys. Kevin, Jag Saints. Who you got?
I am going to take the Saints. I will say 26-20. Player of the game. I think it'll be Bridgewater. I say Bridgewater throws for two, rushes for one. And yeah. And also, oh yeah, how are the refs gonna fuck us over?
It's been a couple weeks. It's they're due.
Yeah, I think that the refs are going to call that one ref in particular is going to constantly call roughing the passer against the Saints defensive line. And for some odd reason, the referee will be the only referee with a mustache.
I like that. Andrew, Jag Saints, who you got?
Jags win 23-20. I got to keep the streak going.
What?
And Sean Payton is going to get ejected from the game for illegal coaching, which is a 45-yard penalty, and will put the Jaguars in field goal range to win the game.
I got to barbecue your ass in molasses.
You don't believe that. You're just picking against the Saints now because you believe in superstitions or whatever.
Just trying to be kitschy.
I was all set to pick the Jaguars because I said that it would be the Saintsiest thing ever to beat Tampa. Teddy looks good. Everybody's feeling great. They're in first place. They go to Jacksonville, lay a giant turd, and lose. That would be the most Saintsy thing ever. But Andrew explained to me, no, the most Saintsy thing ever is they go undefeated with Bridgewater. Drew Brees comes back, and they lose to the Falcons 48-45. So I'm picking the Saints 31-17. The Jaguars' defense is sneakily terrible. I know you probably have the idea that they're good because you remember them in 2017 when they should have beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship, but Blake Bortles couldn't get it done, and they fell last year. They were terrible. Their defense, they give up 5.5 yards a rush. And their offense is actually leads the AFC in passing yards and that sort of thing. So their defense is not as good as people as you probably think they are because you don't pay attention to the AFC. Because really, who gives a shit about the AFC South, right?
I was shocked at how bad the Jaguars were defensively. Now they have Calais Campbell, who is a sneaky Saints killer. He seems to always play well against us. But the thing about Jacksonville that's weird is I would have never thought that D.D. Westbrook and D.J. Chark would be LSU boy, by the way. But I just would have never thought that that would be much offensively.
Well,
and Minshew's stats, like, he's got 9 touchdowns and 1 interception, 105 quarterback rating, 67% completions. Like, he is tearing it up.
He's never going to play for them. Foles is never going to play a down for the Jaguars.
Yeah, like the Minshew madness, like it's a thing. It's real.
Well,
he's playing lights out.
He is.
It's over. We're ending it. Just like we fucking ended Dallas' season.
Now, Fournette has played very well this year, and I do think the Saints are well-seasoned for this game because they've just played three.
What are they, like a pork rib or something?
Well, I just think they've played three teams in a row that are similar in that, you know, and especially Dallas, where they're teams that are physical and they like to run the ball. And I just think the Saints, if they do a good job of stopping Fournette, and I believe they will, I think this is a very similar opponent to the three they just beat. And I think they're primed for that.
By the way, the best part about the Saints playing the Jaguars is listening to Zach Strief call them the Jaguars. Go listen to him call the game on Sunday.
Jaguars.
He does. He pronounces it very odd.
Yeah. A lot of
people Jaguars.
In the chat think
he does. That's what he calls them. You go listen
to it. A lot of people
in
the chat think the Jaguars are going to get housed by the Saints. Jaguars.
But just to be clear, even though I talked about that, I am picking the Jaguars to beat the Saints.
Oh.
And,
MVP, I am going to say.
My MVP.
Josh Hill, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, that's just crazy.
You mean Jonah, right? Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill, yeah. So,
Jason, right?
So, congratulations to all you people that, like me, have a whole...
Oh, wait, hold on. We didn't talk about Ben Watson.
Oh, did he sign with the Saints?
No, but he's getting cut by the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to tell me to fire up the breaking news siren.
How is he still even in the league?
He's
got to pay
washed.
For all those kids.
He's washed. I mean, come on. Let's be like.
Yeah. He's finished.
I mean, I would.
Well, there were Saints fans on Saints Twitter that were clamoring for this. They want us to sign Watson, and I would say, first of all, things are looking a little bit up with Jared Cook, so let's give it a little bit more time. And secondly, and Ben Watson was proof of this last year. When Sean Payton brings back one of his old guys, it never works out well. The second tour of duty with the Saints is
another
never
reason,
a positive thing.
Another
let's
reason
not
why
lobby,
Drew Brees
let's not
come back.
Lobby for Watson to have a third tour.
Another reason why Drew Brees shouldn't come back.
I love
the Drew Brees return tour is not going to go well.
I love the fact that Dave has morphed into ride Teddy out, and Drew Brees needs to go to the retirement home, to the Jimmy John's in the sky. It's done. The Drew Brees era is over, and it needs to be
walk out to
it
the
needs
sky.
To be Teddy Roosevelt show from here on out. I love this plot twist.
I mean, look, if we're nicknaming him or going with the nickname Teddy Roosevelt, we need to call it the administration.
That sounds so ominous, though. Like it's black helicopters and aliens stealing babies and shit.
You know what? I'm just gonna, I don't like that idea. Ralph, play the clip.
What clip of that?
The
worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes. Yes, it's horrible, this idea.
That one?
Yeah, that one. That one. That was the one I wanted.
So, This podcast has been an hour and 20 of rambling nonsense. Congratulations to you people like me who have a horrible, horrible commute every day. If you have an hour plus commute, this podcast will take you all the way to work. So congratulations. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.
In honor of some guys pulling top.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.